And I know from being on the show for the last number of years that an increasing number of parents get in touch very worried about their son or daughter who's in college and who is really struggling with their college course. And we also know from talking to people like Mary Lucy, the careers expert, that an awful lot of young people drop out of their college course by Christmas of the first year. Others maybe do a year of a college course, then they decide it's not for them. And all of that is extremely stressful for young people. So there's the pressure of that, the pressure of exams, the financial pressure, and sometimes even the social pressure to try to combine the fun side of college with the very serious study side of it. All of which adds up to college sometimes being a time when many young people can have their first encounter with mental health problems. So against that backdrop, it's very good to hear that MTU, Munster Technological University here in Kerry and Cork, along with the HSE, they've teamed up and they have relaunched, if you like, a campaign to let students know that there are many, many services out there, both within their college and beyond, to help them if they're going through a tough time with their mental health. I spoke earlier today to psychologist Mark Smith about the whole mental health stresses associated with college life. At the outset, I put it to him that college can be a fantastic time of fun and parties and exploring adulthood for young people, but it can also be a very difficult time for some students.
I would. I think it can be both. I think that there's a certain kind of degree of freedom and independence and liberty that comes with going to college. But also there are challenges. So there's a lot of transitions involved, and we know that transitions at different points in our lives can be challenging. It could be moving to a new place. There could be stresses involved with trying to find accommodation, with making new friends, with trying to figure out who I am. But maybe sometimes the course might not be what we expect. So I think it can be fun, it can be enjoyable, but also there is times where our mental health might be under a little bit of pressure, and it's important that we help students to both recognise that and to signpost them towards supports that can help them.
Exactly. And before we talk about those new supports that have been launched, and they're very welcome indeed, you mentioned as well, there's a lot of kind of very common sense, practical things that students can do to mind their mental health during their college years. So would you outline some of those for us, starting with sleep? Because I think sleep is always underrated in the context of mental health.
I think sleep is essential for all of us. And I think we need to remember that when we're trying to manage our emotions, that takes energy. It takes, you know, when I would meet somebody and do work with them, often afterwards I tell them, look, you're probably going to be a bit tired afterwards because you've been managing and talking about and trying to understand the difficult emotions. That takes energy. And one of the best ways that we can get energy back is by getting enough sleep. And there is a temptation when we're in college to, you know, we're going to be busy with assignments and work and lectures and social life and sporting. You know, the battery can run down pretty quickly. So sleep is a really, really important part of our lives that we use to recharge, to give our brains a bit of a rest, our bodies a rest, so that we can get up and go again. And if we neglect our sleep, then we're more likely to be maybe a little bit irritable, to be a bit more anxious, to find it harder to concentrate. So it's really, really essential that we're getting, you know, at least the 8-9 hours a night if we can.
So even on a practical basis, you'd suggest just maybe trying to get to bed that little bit earlier if you're struggling at the moment in college?
Absolutely. And if you're thinking that, you know, my brain is kind of running on empty, and we know that, you know, we're living in a technological era, and we know that, you know, when our batteries on our iPhones, when we get that little warning that comes up, only 10% left, we instinctively know we need to plug it in. So for us, when we're running low on energy, when our battery is low, we need to monitor that. And one of the best ways of recharging that battery is to get some more sleep.
And a few more practical tips as well. I know, again, that it's a time in our lives when we probably don't look after our diet very much. There's a lot of living on fast food and pizza and stuff when you're cramming for exams and that. But that's important too, to look after the diet and to try and fit in a little bit of exercise, even if you don't normally do so.
It is. I suppose there's maybe four things that we need to do in order to give ourselves a good foundation to have good mental health. As we've talked about, sleep is one, but also food is the other. That's our second source of energy. And it's not just about the type of food that we eat, but we live in a very fast-paced world, and it's important to actually remember to sleep. Or to eat even. So I would speak to many people who kind of think, you know, well, I've got to run here, I've got to do this, and then, you know, eating becomes an afterthought. And then they're struggling with their emotions, they're struggling with the energy because it's something that they haven't prioritized. But also we can combine the other things that we need to do, which is social contact, to meet up with people. So we can meet up, we can get a little bit of exercise, go for a walk, then go for a coffee and a bun afterwards, that we're combining all the things that really help and enhance our well-being.
Mm. And you mentioned as well that it's important that if young people start to notice that their mood is low or they're becoming a bit anxious, to sort of take action once those small little telltale signs start to manifest, nip it in the bud, as it were.
It is, and I suppose what we know is that, again, we don't always prioritise our mental health or mental well-being, and often people will just kind of disregard it, sit on it, pretend it doesn't really matter because it feels like it's quite small. What we do know is that small things all add up together and cumulatively, then suddenly we can feel overwhelmed and kind of wonder, well, where did that come from? I would often talk to people where they're really struggling to figure out, well, why am I anxious and why is my mood so low? Because nothing majorly big or traumatic has happened in my life, so I can't really understand why. But then when we break it down and we look at it, there's lots and lots of maybe daily stressors or weekly things that are happening that the person didn't really see as being big or important. But when they kept chipping away maybe at their energy levels, their well-being, then suddenly they find themselves that maybe a little bit low, that a little bit anxious and not really know why. So it's those daily stresses, those daily things that maybe we don't pay as much attention to try and manage those as they occur rather than let them build up in the background.
What about alcohol and mental health? Because again, it's, you know, for a lot of students, and I'm not saying all students, but for a lot of students, college years are sort of party central, aren't they? And you're burning the candle at both ends and out all night and maybe overindulging. And I presume you'll tell me as a health professional that alcohol is not good for your mental health, at least in excess.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the key part. And I suppose what you don't want to be doing is coming in and being perceived as a buzzkill and saying, you know, you can never drink. And like, everything is in moderation. So we know is that sometimes people, maybe if they're struggling with their mood or maybe a little bit anxious, that they might use alcohol as a coping mechanism to try and deal with the stresses of life. And if it is something that we're turning to as a way of trying to cope, it's not really going to be as healthy for us as it should. So it's about self-monitoring and seeing, you know, am I more likely to be taking a drink when I'm a bit anxious or I'm a bit stressed? We know that, as you said, during college years, we meet up with friends and you have that pint or two, and that's okay. But it's about monitoring the frequency of it, but also the amount and the volume of it. And also if it's something that you're thinking, oh God, I'm really stressed, I think I want to have a drink. So it's about knowing when enough is enough and that we're not using it to self-medicate our emotions.
Any advice, Mark, for students who get very, very anxious and very stressed around exam time and they're worried they're not going to get the grades they want, that they're not going to pass their exams and continue to next year and they might lose their grant and all the things that can build up in a student in college? What advice would you have for them when that is their specific issue?
I think there's a couple of things. One, just in the really good example that you just gave, it's a really great example of catastrophizing. So it's not just about this one exam, but what happens if I fail this exam and what will the knock-on effect for next year? What if I don't get my grant? So when we get really stressed and anxious about things, it generates a spiraling sequence of what-if thoughts. What if this happens? What if this happens? This happens? And then suddenly the cumulative impact of all of those what-if thoughts leaves people feeling very, very overwhelmed. So what we want to do is focus on, right, what is in my control right now? What happens with my grant next year? What happens with next year's course? That is beyond what I can control. I can control what can I do between now and when the exam date starts. And that's what I can focus on. But also it's important that there is a validity to feeling stressed about exams and to feeling worried about it. And one of the things, maybe the best things that people can do is reflect back on, they've been here before. So if you ask them back about their Leaving Cert and what was that like and what was the stress and how did you manage it, the reason that they're in college is because they've already managed similar stresses. So they have the ability to do it, they have the skill set, And reflecting back on, well, what helped me to get through the Leaving Cert? What helped me to get to this point in college? But also maybe to link in with their tutors or their year heads within the course about, you know, is there anything that I can do? Can I get an extension? Can I pare back on other things? You know, maybe back to that idea that I've got a big night out in college on Saturday, but I've got an assignment and exam due on Tuesday. Realistically, can I do both? And would it be okay to sacrifice the night out so that I can reduce my stress about the assignment or the exam?
Exactly, yeah. And just in terms of the supports that are now available, I mean, first of all, I suppose it's important to acknowledge that colleges are very much on the ball nowadays. And this is a great initiative by MTU to ensure that students know the supports are available. So I suppose you'd welcome that to begin with anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we have a very well-educated and digitally literate young population. And we know that education is key, and you know, we have young people that we can direct towards yourmentalhealth.ie that has, you know, such a range of resources and education around different types of difficulties, but I think more importantly, practical tips on how we can manage it. So for the vast majority of people, education about what they're feeling, some tips about how to manage it, is going to work for most people. But we also know that for some, they need that little bit more, so that there are online peer support platforms, there's programs that will help people with anxiety or low mood. And then we also have the 50808 service for all young people and staff who might find themselves maybe late at night in a little bit of a crisis, who just need some support and somebody to talk to and interact with.
So that's the MTU 50808 service. So they can text that, and what happens then?
So 5808 is a service that's funded by the HSE that provides support at any point for anyone who needs to have a chat, to just download or to get some tips or advice about how they might manage in that situation. So it's there at all times. It's staffed by volunteers who are supported by clinicians and professionals. And it's a national service. But it is something that we're really trying to highlight that is there as an additional support should anyone need it.
Yeah, that's great. And that is new. That is what was launched, isn't it?
Well, 5 Away has been around for a while, but I suppose what we're trying to do as part of this campaign is increase awareness. So what we do know is that sometimes people who might struggle with their mental health or their friends or family don't really know what supports are available. So we have these available to both the student population and the general population. What we need to do is increase the awareness that it's there, so that in that moment when you're struggling, that there is this initial piece of, oh, I know where to go. I know what's available to me, so that we don't feel maybe as alone, or that we feel that help is available to us.
And after you text that number, does someone get back to you, or what? How does it work?
Yeah. So it's very interactive. We've 5808 have a panel of people who are there and ready, waiting to interact, to chat. So it's an immediate service. People are there and they will respond very, very quickly.
Okay, well, that's good to know that it's there. Listen, we leave you go, Mark, but thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
And that was Mark Smith, HSE Senior Clinical Psychologist, speaking to me earlier on the subject of students and mental health. And it's good to know that service is there now, be it for students who want face-to-face help, who want to interact with somebody over the internet, over texting or whatever. But whatever they want, whatever they feel they need and whatever crisis they're going through, it's good to see that help is out there now. And I think Mark was very practical and gave some very good common sense pointers to students if they are feeling pressure or feeling low at the moment as to how to get through it. Not rocket science by any means. A little bit of extra sleep, a little bit less alcohol maybe, a few less late nights. Eat properly, get a bit of exercise, and don't be too hard on yourself when it comes to exams and trying to cram stuff in and do too much. It is a tough time. I know we all associate student life with maybe the best years of your life and great crack and you're so carefree and everything, but it can be extremely stressful for young people. And as I mentioned at the outset as well. So many young people now do a course and then after three months or 6 months or even a year discover it's not for them. And that in itself can be very stressful, having to turn around and tell your parents, I don't like this course, I'm going to have to drop out. Anyway, just to remind you, text MTU to 50808 and all the advice and information is available and accessible to all MTU students. So thanks again to Mark for speaking to me.